Hi, this is Ken Arnold from The Night Watchman, and you are listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 244, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and nobody, I haven't killed one person yet, and I'm on my way, though.
I'm Daniel, I never think about murder.
I'm Doug, and I just shave my head and let it grow back.
You know what, Doug? I would, but this hair does not stop growing. I think that's my problem.
So I get this random call from Simon yesterday telling me he's going to kill somebody. He's not sure who, but he's going to murder someone. Could be a family member, could be a person on the street. He's just not sure yet.
And maybe a stuffed animal. I'm just losing my mind a little bit, slowly but surely.
The intern you could kill.
Yeah, I'll have to go find him.
He
doesn't leave the house.
Have to come to Ottawa to kill me.
4-hour drive is not out of my way.
Well, I'm all the way down in America, so.
I can't get in. You got to wait, but you're on the list.
Okay, fair.
But gents, how is life in the land of quarantine?
Well, I have some. You talking to me or just everybody?
Everybody, just in general.
Okay, well, I want to say before I start, land of quarantines, I'm going nuts. I'm better today. I went to work today. I was outside today. I think I'm getting better. And I'm outside for the next 2 weeks at work. I think my mental sanity will ease out by Wednesday. But before I continue, I have one thing I want to say. Congratulations for Daniel getting his first episode out of Popcorn Movies, is it, Dan?
Popcorn Flicks.
Good work.
But probably changed the name at least.
So
thank you.
He edited it, recorded it, and had some minor issues, but pretty good for the most part.
Okay. I'm sure I'll hear about those after the podcast.
If you want to, or not.
Yeah,
you'll figure it out.
All
right. Kevin, how about you?
I am just, I think this is like my fifth Zoom call this weekend. Oh. And I just keep catching base for convention stuff, which is, all, of course, all up in the air, and watching a lot of movies, watching a lot of TV, signed up for another streaming service, so I'm getting more material to watch.
Like, you have time for that?
All I have is time.
True.
Me and the cat. And so I go from room to room, and I watch TV, and I watch stuff, I watch movies, and then I move stuff around. So that's my life.
Well, since we're on Zoom, next time the cat comes, can we see the cat?
No.
Did you close the door this time?
She's asleep in the dining room. I'm hoping that she'll not wake up. But
I want the cat cam.
Yeah. Hopefully not. Hopefully she'll stay.
And Doug, maybe what have you been up to?
Mostly, unfortunately, I still have to work 40-hour weeks. So, but I do it all from home now. So I get out of bed, I shower, and then go back into the bedroom and get on my computer. But, over the weekend, last weekend, my family actually did a movie marathon where one of our Hainer family movie marathons where we all pick a film to watch. My wife picked Young Frankenstein. I picked Duck Soup, the Marx Brothers film. My oldest son, Owen, picked Clue. And my youngest son picked, Meg, The Meg with Jason Statham.
Any movie where Jason Statham punches a shark, I'm in for it.
Fair. It's ridiculous and fun. We just had fun with it.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Kevin, are you trying to pick different backgrounds right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if any of them would work, and they all look weird.
I keep seeing them glitching on.
You need a blue screen. You gotta upgrade your computer to do that.
I'm in outer space now. I'm Cosmic Kevin.
Yeah, that's better visual effects than Fantastic Four.
That's actually pretty dope.
That is dope.
Yeah, 15 one.
So,
I'm on the beach.
Are we leading with what I think we are? So we've all been gentlemen over this quarantine period?
I don't know. The first one I had was something about imprecial people.
Don't know that film. Sorry.
The Gentleman, directed by Guy Ritchie, starring Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, Michelle Dockery, Henry Golding, Jeremy Strong, Colin Farrell, Eddie Marsden, and Hugh Grant.
Start somebody. Kevin?
Well, I like this movie. It was pretty good. It's another Guy Ritchie as Godzilla.
Oh.
Hold on.
We don't have any Guy Ritchie movies on this podcast.
Well, I guess Kevin's not going to talk about Gentlemen, so I am. So I actually thought this was pretty fun. Guy Ritchie doing gangsters, I don't think you can really go wrong with, and you can't. I find the accents are a little rough at times to understand. Maybe British people or people that deal with British people understand these accents a lot better than I do. It had the usual Guy Ritchie twist at the end, and I thought that was good. I mean, it's fun. I definitely think this is a return to Guy Ritchie form. And I like to see more of these kind of films than his other films.
I got Scooby-Doo. That's the only character I have in my room.
All I have with me is Jesus, so.
That's Jesus.
He's always with me.
So what did you guys think of Gentlemen? Kevin, you laughed and got interrupted.
I had to get Godzilla. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, it's not his best gangster picture, but it was fun. I mean, essentially it's about Matthew McConaughey is an American who lives in England who has set up an operation of selling weed over the years that's high tech. And what are you feeding that to Godzilla?
We really got to stop this Lego figure.
Little tiny person. He wants to sell his business and retire. And the guy he's dealing with is trying to undermine him. And it's been a few weeks, but I enjoyed it. Hugh Grant was like entrepreneur guy who was trying to
blackmail
everybody, I guess.
Private investigator for a publication company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. It was great. Overall I liked it. There was a lot of double crosses and stupid things happening. Mm-hmm. And there was that one guy, Colin Farrell, was like a coach. And he trains these young guys, and they go around to film videos, and they break into the facility where the weed is stored, and they beat up a bunch of guys. And it's just sort of a comedy of errors, like most of the Guy Ritchie movies. I like it. I thought Charlie Hunnam was actually pretty good in this one.
I thought he was excellent, but I agree.
And I like Hugh Grant.
I love Hugh Grant. I wish he would do more work.
And even McConaughey was good in this one, so.
You want to go, Doug?
I was just because I thought it was fine. It wasn't any groundbreaking film or anything. I thought the best performance came from Hugh Grant playing against type as like just a complete scumbag. Colin Farrell was fun, but I've seen Colin Farrell play tough guys before. It was good, but it wasn't great. I had fun while I was watching it, but by the time it was over, I'd already forgotten a lot of the intricacies of the story.
But there is no intricacies. It's just a straightforward Guy Ritchie gangster film with some twists. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's going to stop. I think it's watchable, which is kind of nice nowadays. I mean, the last few Guy Ritchie films, I wouldn't say are even watchable. I mean, that King Arthur piece of junk was terrible.
Yeah, King Arthur was bad. Yeah, I watched this in theaters back in late February, March. I rewatched it again today, and yeah, I really had fun the first time. I had fun the second time, but for sure, I'll forget most of it by end of next week.
20 minutes ago, you forgot half.
I actually haven't seen Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but I want to. But so as my first Guy Ritchie gangster movie, I enjoyed it. I thought the villains could have been a bit better, but it was fun. Sorry?
Have some personality is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, or just, I liked Henry Golding, but I just, yeah, personality. The rape bit kind of was weird. Almost doing it. Yeah. But I really liked how they used Hugh Grant as just the framing device for the story. I thought that was very smart. And he's just taking them through the screenplay of it. And there's just creative liberties. And I liked it. I liked that part.
You know, I had forgotten that Guy Ritchie had directed Aladdin.
How could you?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like his film at all.
No, not at all. It was definitely a committee film, but I really enjoyed this previous one. I didn't like King Arthur at all. But, Man from U.N.C.L.E. was fantastic.
Oh, here we go again. We're not getting the Man from U.N.C.L.E. discussion again.
I love Man from U.N.C.L.E.
But there was a Man from U.N.C.L.E. poster in this movie.
Yeah, when Hugh Grant was selling the film. Trying to,
Guy Ritchie was in the movie. He was the director that was being pitched to.
Oh, okay. I don't know what he looks like.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think people play jokes in this film on each other?
Yeah, well, Impractical Jokers, the movie.
Jokers.
Yeah. Starring Joe Gatto, James Murray, Brian Quinn, Sal Vacano, Paula Abdul. Now, Simon, since you're our resident Impractical Joker.
I will start.
That's that you start.
Okay, I have to apologize for the beginning and end of this film. It was awful. I am sorry. I love this show. It makes me laugh. I cried. Any of those bad bits with Murray in the hotel room, again, I'm apologizing. Like, I don't get the beginning of this movie. It was terribly conceived. The whole Paula Abdul, Joe Gatto getting on stage, them trying to get, like, really? So you guys had nothing to start this movie off. Nothing. That's the best you could come up with? Then the whole skit is to give him three passes and try to get there. We get to the end, and the three get in, and he walks in with the jacket. They're like, oh, now I get why we have that stupid beginning. We're going to have a stupid end. Got it. Again, I'm apologizing for the Joker's movie. I think if you're a Joker's fan like I am, there's so many in-jokes in it, it's fine. Especially I love the competitions as they always have. They're solid. I don't understand the hotel party jokes. I wish somebody could explain those to me because they were all dumb. I love the bits when they keep throwing bags here and bags there. I thought that works. And overall, you know what? I think this should just stay as it is as a TV show. No more movies.
I've been a fan for about 2 months. I've been watching the show, but it takes them so much out of their element of just screwing around on the show and them trying to act. It made my soul hurt, but then when they were doing Impractical Joker stuff, I was laughing. And then when they did the transition again, it made my soul hurt again. Like you said, the whole bit about trying to find out what Murray does outside of the friend group, it was like, what are you doing? And these are four funny people. And the fact that exactly like the overarching story of Paula Abdul, that's the best they could come up with.
Well, I thought the tiger with Sal was the best. I cried with the tiger.
I think I liked the cave one the best and the boat one.
Oh, the boat one was really good. But I thought the tiger was better. When Sal has to deal with the tiger, because I've seen all the episodes, Sal hates cats. Can't stand them. So the joke is even better if you've watched enough Jokers, because they go back to it all the time.
See, I haven't seen enough episodes to know if that was like mean-spirited or not, you know? So I don't know.
But they are mean-spirited. I could see me being on that show and doing whatever I wanted, because I don't care. And Kevin knows that about me.
I love Joe the best, though.
So like, let's hear from somebody who hated it. Oh, wait, there he is. Doug?
I didn't see it. I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Kevin? Sorry, Kevin?
What a total piece of crap. I've not watched an episode of this show, and I thought this movie was garbage. The setup was terrible, as you said.
It was
all the framing sequences were awful. And there were a couple of mildly amusing sequences when they have one person out in public, and then the other guys are directing them.
Yeah.
To do certain things.
That's the show.
So the cat stuff, okay, that was funny with the tiger in the room and him freaking out. The boat one I didn't quite get. He was naked in the water or something.
That
like
was
that.
Funny.
And then there was the broken down car one.
Oh,
we liked that one.
That was
amusing
terrible.
When he opened the trunk up and it was full of drugs and money. That was kind of amusing. The social media conference, you know, where they showed porn.
That was
awful.
Like
his parents in porn.
Yes. Well, they do that to Q all the time. That goes back to the first episode ever when they're doing the same thing they always do, and Q's dad comes in to order and Q's on cash. And they tell Q to ask his dad when's the last time he banged his mom, and Q can't do it, so he loses. That's where that joke comes from. Like I said, there's a lot of inside Joker jokes.
Actually, I did like the Jaden Smith part where the guy shows off his tattoo, I guess from a previous season.
Yes.
He's at the party. He's like, I'm Jaden Smith's biggest fan.
Yes, and, that's how.
And then Jaden Smith is in on the joke and calls him up on stage and hugs him and does stuff. He says, you have a great tattoo here, but that's an old picture of me. You should get a new one on your other thigh. So they go off to get a tattoo on his other thigh of a more recent version. That was mildly amusing, but it was kind of like, it kept reminding me of like the Jerky Boys and all those stupid Joker things.
But they're funny. I never thought the Jerky Boys were funny.
Yeah. Just reminds me of that kind of gag humor, and sometimes it's okay, but trying to spin it into a movie with a narrative was a waste of time.
I agree.
I should have just done skits, and that would have been it.
Hang on. We can ask Doug. You're in Jersey. They're from Jersey. You ever seen these guys?
No, I have not.
They go to the Jersey Shore? Is that near you? I don't know. Is that far from you?
Jersey Shore, I mean, it runs all the way up and down the coast, so... Oh.
No idea.
It depends on where they are, but no, I've never run into those guys.
Fair enough.
I think that was a problem too, taking them out of New York. But
well, no, they go to England at one point. The England season's pretty funny.
Okay, but the Atlanta Hawks, the interviews when Joe goes down to play basketball, I like
that. That was hysterical. He's talking about security. He's shooting basketball.
Yeah, like I loved parts of this, but I hated a lot of it. And I'm a fan.
So am I. So, I guess you wouldn't have coffee with them?
Or are we making a report first?
Netflix is later.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Don't we have to
report on it first.
We have to make a report.
Fair enough.
Starring Adam Driver, Annette Bening, Corey Stoll, John Hamm, Maura Tierney, Michael C. Hall, and Tim Blake Nelson.
You know what's funny? Doug said to me offline that he hated four of these movies. And he hasn't seen Jokers. So now I think I know what four they are.
I was trying to figure it out, too. I saw that.
Well, it was not the report. I like the report a lot.
Go ahead. Start.
Well, basically, it's Adam Driver. At the beginning, he's just out of college, trying to get a job working with a senator, and they say, come back in a few years after you get some experience, and he goes to work for the FBI and ends up investigating the CIA over their extreme interrogation techniques. They call it EIT, and basically it's just about him investigating torture and what was done to Muslims after 9/11, and I gotta tell you, it was a sobering movie to wake up to. I watched it at 8 o'clock this morning, and it was pretty sobering. But the performances I thought were all fantastic. I thought Adam Driver, Annette Bening, who's not somebody I'm normally a big fan of, but I thought she held her own very well here, and John Hamm was pretty good as a slimy politician guy trying just to look good any way that he could.
Hold on. So you're eating a bowl of Rice Krispies and you're watching the report?
Yes.
Nice. I want to thank Kevin for telling me to watch this, first of all, because somehow I missed it, but not coming out in theaters, or if it did, I totally missed it. I got to say, I never wanted this film to end. I was fascinated because, I mean, I've seen everything they've talked about. I've seen Zero Dark Thirty. I've seen all the films that are about this, but not seen this. Oh, my God. This guy is smart.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know Driver's playing a character, so show me the range of Driver. He can go from Star Wars to this, and then I saw him in Patterson. I'm like a big Adam Driver fan. But
well, it wasn't necessarily a character. David Jones was a real guy.
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he's playing the character of David Jones.
Okay.
But he does a great job. He had me convinced. I mean, obviously this guy does exist, but I thought, like, the way the lines are delivered and the way Adam Jones argues and the way the script is written, it works well for me. Well layered, it makes sense. I love the meeting with the CIA, and he's just ripping them a new one. Saying, nope, you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. I'm like, what the? I'm like, wow. And then they're arguing, well, is the report going to come out? Like, of course it comes out because we have a movie. And I thought maybe that was a little forced, but I thought this was just totally 100% fascinating on all levels. And I'm just shocked, I guess, in the sense that America doesn't even know what they're doing. That I always assumed that America had some idea what they're doing in these situations, but they literally don't.
No, it's all capitalism. It's all who you could sell the ideas to, and these two psychologists came in, sold the idea to the CIA that they could get information that nobody else could, and it all, it's just all who's the biggest storyteller, and these two guys were, and horrible things happened.
Right.
So how did this play in America, Doug?
Well, it was never in the theaters. It went to Amazon Prime. It did get very good reviews, particularly Annette Bening. She was the one who got, like, I think she got a Golden Globe nomination for supporting actress. But I thought Driver was fantastic. He had an incredible year last year.
I agree.
Yeah.
Daniel?
Sorry, I saw it like a month ago, so I remember loving it, but I don't remember specifically why.
Well written.
I know the story was fascinating, though.
Well acted. Fascinating story. Had a perfect running time at 2 hours. I left the film feeling content.
Pacing is very good.
Which I can't say that about a lot of films I watch. I laughed happy. And I can say, yeah, please watch this film. It is fascinating.
Yeah. I like Snowden, but I think this does it, like, better.
I thought Snowden was rough. I thought Snowden was choppy, bouncy, bad editing, not a good script. Needs some punching up.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. But no, this does, like, that kind of story much better.
Well, this is like punch, counterpunch, and it does it well for me.
Right.
I really find it explains, you have an angle of the CIA, and you show them they don't care. They're just there to do a job. And he's like, no, you guys are idiots. This is why. And I think it works out well that way. Okay.
Well, I haven't reviewed yet.
Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, I saw this a few months ago. I recommended it. I love this movie. I thought Driver is fantastic. What I liked about it in particular was its relevancy to now. So here we have the actions of one term of the presidency. So you have enough of the card. We have the Bush presidency, which after 9/11 authorized the CIA to use these tactics and didn't really look to see if they were working. They just authorized it and allowed them to do it. And then they kind of hid it. And then the Obama White House, kind of represented through the John Hamm character, wasn't all that interested in pursuing it. And they were prepared to let it just sort of die a death. But it was Senator Feinstein and the few Democratic senators that pushed for the release of this report before the end of their term, when Mitch McConnell and the Republicans took over as the party in dominance in the Senate. So it's all politics. It's all about who has control and back and forth, and what secrets will be revealed and. But I thought Driver's tenaciousness was fascinating, and his willingness to get around. I mean, I remember they stick him in a room and they say, okay, you can look at all the stuff here, but you can't remove a single thing. And so he sets up a center, and then one day they just go in and they sweep the space. By the way, the cat is back.
Let's see.
And is currently attacking my legs and is driving me crazy. So anyway, but I thoroughly enjoyed this It was one of, it's up there with Marriage Story for Adam Driver for last year, in my opinion. Two great performances.
So should they have gotten an Oscar nod then? Don't you think so?
I think they gave him his one Oscar nod, right?
Yeah, can only give one leading and one supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we'll just forget about Star Wars, eh? For his performances for last year.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Star Wars.
No, I know.
But,
hey, the dead don't die.
There you go.
I forgot about that. I forgot that was last year.
I try to forget about that one.
I'm forgetting about it daily, trying to scrub my brain from it. And kind of like our next film, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. Something we didn't need. Thanks, Kevin Smith.
Yes, Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith, Harley Quinn Smith. Do you want me to list the cameos or no?
No.
Okay.
Gotta go on for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, because I had like four, but no. Doesn't matter.
Todd, you're up.
This is one of the four I hated. I'll tell you that.
I don't think I liked it.
I forget where I heard this, but I heard this movie described as watching Kevin Smith masturbate for an hour 45 minutes. Pleasurable for him, but painful for the audience to watch.
Exact thoughts.
I agree.
I think I liked it more than you, which is shocking. Okay.
Oh, wait, sorry. We got running out of time. We removed 40-minute time limit on your group meeting. So we're good.
Yeah, thank you, whoever did that.
I don't know. Okay.
So I guess what I want to say about this, being a huge Kevin Smith fan, seeing Clerks in theaters, yes, I'm that one guy. There were seven of us in the theater, and four people walked out, so I think there were three of us when I was left. This is just Kevin masturbating. You are absolutely correct, Doug. I mean,
Kevin Smith masturbating.
Yeah, it's 100%. It's just him jerking off, and he talks about it all the time, so I have no fear. But, I mean, it has Impractical Joker, Q in Impractical Jokers. It has Comic Book Man. It has everybody from his podcast. It has his wife. It has his kids. It has every character under the sun. But the storyline is just...
No original jokes.
That's right. He's just rehashing what we've done 20 years ago. And, I mean, I hate to say this. I was a Kevin Smith fan. Now I feel I'm becoming a Kevin Smith apologist. Saying, okay, do not watch anything after Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, I think is the last good one.
Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
It was terrible. Piece of junk.
I love that movie.
Well, because it's perfect for you.
Let's just forget about Clerks 3, and let's forget about Tusk and other movies he's done.
Yoga Hosers
is one of the worst movies I've seen.
Yoga Hosers, Tusk, this. Like, I know he likes smoking weed, but it's showing. You stink.
The only good joke in this movie was when they were like, when he was on stage and he apologized for Yoga Hosers or something. Because it's fucking true.
Well, that whole scene there was supposed to be Kevin Smith. I mean, Stan Lee.
On the stage?
Yeah, that was supposed to be Stan Lee.
A couple years ago at MegaCon Tampa, Kevin Smith came and auctioned off an appearance in this movie with Stan Lee. So somebody paid to be on screen with Stan, but then Stan passed away. So
okay.
I'm not sure what happened with all of that. Yeah.
I just got 8 billion cameos, but I don't care. It's not. I did like the Chris Hemsworth joke. I thought that worked.
No.
I mean, Supergirl cannot act to save her life. She is terrible.
Oh.
Melissa Benoist. Oh, awful. Just awful. I'm like. You are never going to work after Supergirl. You just proved it to me. Or maybe it's a Kevin Smith movie, but I don't know. Has she done anything else? I don't think so.
She was on Glee for an arc, I think.
Yeah, and so was The Flash, but I don't think I saw it. I think I only watched 2 seasons of Glee.
Wait.
So I don't know, Doug. I mean, this hurts me. Like, I got to say it's like somebody was stabbing me throughout the film going, you know you like these people. You know, you really do.
Yeah, and they kept looking and winking at the camera to remind you. And it was so painful.
Do you get the joke? Like, hey, I made often in the Chipmunks the squeakquel. Do you get the joke? And wink, wink.
Well, the thing was, it was killing me because I like Kevin Smith. I've grown up with Kevin Smith. I even listened to the director commentary on this movie.
God.
Well, he did a podcast on it, so I listened while I was working. So I wouldn't say I was heavily into it. Like, I didn't sit down and watch the film at the same time. But to see if I missed anything, I'm like, no. Didn't miss a thing. Got all your jokes. It's crap.
I swear you told me that you liked this at one point. Or it wasn't, like, as bad. I don't know. But there's a reason this made my bottom 10. I consider myself a Kevin Smith fan. And this is the first movie of his where it feels like they were trying hard to be funny, even before it just felt natural.
Well, wait
and here it's just like, hey, I like Star Wars. Do you like Star Wars? Like, hey. Like, it's just, no. Yeah, like, put your dick away, Kevin Smith.
Well, don't worry. Mallrats 2 is coming.
I got you.
Mallrats 2 is coming, guys. Can't wait for that one.
Bruce Campbell just confirmed.
Is it the...
But he's been confirmed for 3 years. He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he's waiting for his next burger at Burger King in the line for the 2 for $5 special. You can't go to fan experiences, so he must be doing something. Sonic?
Sure.
In-N-Out Burger? I don't know where he lives.
Yeah. This was garbage.
Oh,
I'm definitely in agreement. It was a complete rehash of the old Jay and Silent Bob movie. Without the funnier bits, like the George Carlin unwritten rules of the road and Carrie Fisher as a nun and all that stuff. There were a couple of things that I didn't mind. I didn't mind the fact that Jay felt some responsibility towards his daughter. I thought that was kind of funny because that was a new element.
Yes.
It wasn't the old one. And you could tell that Muse is terrible, but at least he was trying.
He makes an effort. He doesn't ham it up. He actually thinks he's an actor.
And I'll tell you the one part of the movie that I enjoyed was the Ben Affleck scene.
Yes. Well, Ben Affleck's a real actor.
Right. So when they run into Holden McNeil, and he's like, what are you fuckers doing here? And then he has a talk with him about responsibility. He says, this is my daughter. You know, this is the most important thing in the world for me. You know, and you can tell that he was really hitting Jay on that. So I'm not sure whose daughter that was. It was someone else's daughter. I don't
Smith.
Think it was actually.
That's Kevin
I think
Smith's
it was Jay Muse.
Yeah.
Jay Muse's daughter, yeah.
No, not yeah. Kevin well, Smith's daughter.
Real life, yeah.
The child.
Yeah, Harley Quinn Smith.
No, the child that Ben Affleck
has. Oh, I don't know.
That was Jason Mewes' daughter.
That's Jason Mewes' daughter. Jordan?
Well, the person who was playing Jason Mewes' daughter was Kevin Smith's daughter. It was Harley Quinn.
Yes.
Oh.
Now, I got to give her credit. When you see Rosario Dawson show up and Shannon Elizabeth, I'm like, wow, these people have some acting ability. And you see a difference in there. Like, listen to my voice. I'm going back to her. It was terrible. Mark Bernardin, terrible. Comic Men, terrible.
Yeah.
And Jason Lee, I love, but he's not an actor. I mean, I don't know. He's more of a thing. He was fine.
Jason Lee is no longer, something's happened to him. He's lost his confidence or something.
He just hasn't worked since My Name is Earl.
Mm-hmm. What was the point of the Matt Damon scene? That made no sense, and it did nothing for the story.
Okay, I can answer your question. Matt Damon, they wanted him in the movie. And he couldn't make it there. But then he called up and said, okay, Matt's free. And Kevin's like, well, I've got to have Matt Damon in here. I've got to find something to do. We'll put him in the beginning to narrate. That's really why he's there.
But it's kind of like a pseudo-sequel to Dogma.
Yes. He asked him to play Loki.
Yeah.
And that's why he's in there, because he was available at the time, and he wasn't available at the time of filming.
But it added nothing to the actual story
nothing.
Kevin Smith wanted to tell in this film.
He just wanted him in there. That's really it. Just wanted him there. It's
again, more masturbation from Kevin Smith.
Okay, I have a question. Are we going the Disney original film, or are we going to the other one?
No, we're going to Netflix.
So we're going to have coffee?
And Kareem.
Let's see here. Where's my email?
What do you mean?
All right. But yeah, it's Coffee and Kareem. Starring Ed Helms, Teresa P. Henson, Terrence Little, Garden High, Betty Gilpin, and David Alan Greer.
Okay, dog, take your big dump.
Movie 2 of 4 that I hated this time. Simple story. Ed Helms plays a cop who has a new girlfriend in Taraji P. Henson. and he's looking to ingratiate himself with her son named Kareem, which leads to the god-awful pun of a title, Coffee and Kareem.
Yes.
And because it has to, because I think the director's notes were louder is funnier. Everybody screams and yells all of their lines. Betty Gilpin, who's an actress I love, I think she punctuates every single sentence she says with a gunshot in this film.
She does.
It was just awful. I think I laughed at one joke towards the end when the guy says, I ain't afraid of no grenade. That was the one thing I laughed at.
That was actually funny. Yes.
And the story was just trite, and everybody just screamed. It was loud and obnoxious.
So you're describing me to people, are you?
Are you Coffee or Kareem?
I'm definitely not Coffee. I'd be more Kareem, I think, than Coffee. Kevin?
I wasn't expecting much from this because I'm not a huge Ed Helms fan. He's okay as a supporting character, but as a lead, I don't think it's going to work. And Taraji P. Henson was a waste in this movie, and she's usually very good. She's just sort of around. But I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it that much because I didn't expect anything from it. So on that front, it just sort of played in the background while I was doing some work, and it was mildly amusing in some sequences. Not outright funny. I won't go that far. But mildly amusing with some kids and the cell phone and all that stuff and running around, tasing the mother. It wasn't even that funny. But the grenade sequence was hilarious. When the guy does die, I'm afraid of no grenade. And then he just disintegrates right in front of everybody and sets the drugs on fire. And there was an odd joke about French Canadians in there that wasn't quite that, like it just didn't make a lot of sense. But overly, like, only if you want to waste 2 hours of your life.
It's an hour and a half, isn't it?
Hour 28. And it feels like 2 hours.
Feels like 8 hours. And it just kept playing. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good on any level either. So I'd give it like a solid 3.
Oh, I think that's what I gave it.
Yeah.
I think I gave it a 4.
I might have given it a 4. I don't remember. Go ahead, Dan. I'll go last.
Yeah, the French-Canadian bit is like, oh, like I thought I could start talking and then it would make sense, but apparently it's a real language.
Like, yeah,
I actually like Betty Gilpin, so she's the only thing that was like, okay, I'm tolerating your parts, but nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And with the catalog, like the connections that Netflix has, I'm surprised they didn't do the stunt casting with the French-Canadian, and they just had a guy that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Playing the guy. But, no, yeah, this movie was loud, obnoxious. I would have liked to have punched Kareem in the face. And you took the criticism, my main criticism, right out of my head, Kevin, that I like Ed Helms in The Hangover and, like, as a supporting actor, but I've never liked one of his leading roles. Like, I don't mind Cedar Rapids. I hate Vacation so much. Yeah, this movie is hard to get through. Just an oddball couple comedy that doesn't work.
I think Taraji P. Henson is wasted in this film. She's usually a solid actress, and she really has nothing to do. Betty Gilpin's trying her hardest. I got to give her full credit for trying in this film to do her job. She's supposed to be this over-the-top. I get it. I think she was the best part of the film. I think she's actually making an effort. I just finished The Hunt, I think just around before I watched this a couple of weeks, so I knew who she was. David Alan Greer, I'm done. You used to be funny, man. I don't know what happened. Ed Helms just looks like a big stick. Just same expressions, just bad acting. And I want to go back to Kevin. He doesn't want to get to know Kareem. He has to stay with Taraji. I just thought the whole problem was it was dumb. Just the script fumbles all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it tries, but I mean, I would have punched this kid in the face in 10 minutes.
One funny bit was the blade bit. I did like that. Blade? When the kid starts saying stuff about Blade, because one of the henchmen looked like Wesley Snipes, and he was dressed in a bleed outfit, and he starts saying, "Hey, I'm out of, are you out of the special blood?" And starts throwing all this stuff, and I'm like, why is this kid making Blade jokes? And then I realized that the guy he was making fun of looked like Blade. I thought that was funny.
I mean, I know you guys are panning this, but I mean, I'm sorry. There was nothing else on Netflix this week to pick this month. I literally had nothing to choose from. Unless you wanted a nature documentary.
I would have had to pick it eventually.
Okay. We're done. Are we doing the Disney original, or do I have to wait? That's Video Vault.
Because it is a Video Vault now.
Everything else is Video Vault.
So are we moving off to the vault, which I do not have the music ready because I'm lazy and I should have had it ready? Dan, I can't edit that out. You're out of luck now. Here it comes.
Nobody
has the movie I want.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow, I promise.
Relax, at Blockbuster, you can keep your videos.
Does anybody ever return their Blockbuster videos late?
Use your 24-hour quick drop.
Probably.
It's $5.
Sure. Blockbuster's America's family video store. You know, we
have more kids' family video store.
Hey, more movies, more nights, more fun.
We had Palmer Video when I was young.
It's Blockbuster's and Rogers.
We had Jumbo Video. Do you remember Jumbo Video, Kevin?
Yeah, I do.
Should I tell you guys a Jumbo Video story I've never told on the show? Told you the Jumbo Video story and me? Okay. Well, my brother rented Heavy Metal. So I returned Heavy Metal, and my next day my brother goes, because he used to go to Jumbo like every couple days. He calls me up and goes, hey.
Avenue Road.
What?
The one on Avenue Road?
No, the one on Bayview in Eglinton.
Okay.
There used to be one there. So he calls me up and said, hey, there's a problem. You didn't return that video. I said, you returned it late. I said, no, I didn't. I returned it on time. So I drive down there to Jumbo Video because you know what I'm like, Kevin. And they're like, you didn't return your video. I'm like, I did. They're like, sure, that's rented all the time. I walked up the shelf. I said, there's 15 copies on the shelf right now. You're full of crap. Can I see the manager, please? So there's person comes over, he goes, I'm the manager, and I explained to her. She goes, well, sir, you returned it late. I said, no, I returned it on time. Doesn't your tag say personal service and make customer happy? I'm not happy. This, and I just went off. Completely off on them and got dragged out of the store.
Are you doing anything like that?
Oh, you totally know I did that. So what happened in the end is they just gave my brother a new video card. He never had to pay the late charges. But I did return that video on time. I will still say to this day it was returned on time.
On your headstone, I returned it on time.
So what are we doing? Disney original movie? John Tucker?
I had it in the order of the Mafia ones.
Okay.
So we could go wherever.
Untouchables?
Sure.
Make Doug happy? You can discuss something you enjoyed?
Yes. Though, Doug, I've realized that the one you didn't like was John Tucker Must Die. And
of course, it's pretty easy.
Yes, unfortunately.
And Luck of the Irish.
Okay. So, yes, of course. The Untouchables, directed by Brian De Palma, starring Kevin Costner, Sean Connery, Robert De Niro, Andy Garcia, Charles Martin Smith, Patricia Clarkson, Billy Drago, and Jack Keogh.
Kevin, Doug, one of you two.
Doug, why don't you start?
Okay. Untouchables, it's based on the old TV show about Elliot Ness taking down Al Capone. That's pretty much the simple story, but told just masterfully by Brian De Palma here. I think David Mamet did the script. I could be wrong about that.
No, it was David Mamet.
The performances are just absolutely perfect in this film, from Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness to Sean Connery's Oscar-winning role, Robert De Niro as Al Pacino. I still walk around talking about enthusiasms. Yeah. I mean, it's just an amazing film. The visuals that De Palma pulls at the end in the train station with the steps, it's just one of the best adaptations from a TV show to a film maybe even one of the best gangster films, period. I love this movie.
I agree completely. I love this movie. I mean, at the time, Kevin Costner wasn't, he'd been in Silverado and a couple other films, but he wasn't the household name. This film, I think, helped put him up there. And he goes toe-to-toe with Sean Connery in his scenes, and they're both just a pleasure to watch interacting on screen. The whole squad of Untouchables are fantastic. Garcia, this is a performance that brought him a lot of notice, got him a lot of work. De Palma's visuals are fantastic. The script is great. The music is fantastic. I remember when I saw this in the theaters, I had to walk out and buy the soundtrack because I loved it. That iconic that plays a lot. The guy that just died too recently, Billy Drago, as the henchman. That whole sequence on the rooftop at the courthouse, just fantastic. He's evil. And, you know, that finally, that crosses that line that Elliot Ness can, you know, he'll do his job, but the little bit of Sean Connery in the back of his head was pushing, you know, sometimes you gotta take it to the next level. And of course, Robert De Niro as Al Capone and the whole baseball bat sequence as he's walking around the table and he hits the guy over the head. Just, you know, unforgettable stuff.
I have to agree with everything he was saying, even though the baby carriage he stole from another film, and I've seen the other film too.
Yeah.
The baby carriage. It's a Russian. Isn't the Battleship Pokemon where it comes from?
Potankin,
which is, I think, a better film, but let's not get into that. Totally different things. I gotta agree with Kevin. I walked out of this, and the first thing off, I was shocked. I do not remember Patricia Clarkson being in this at all. Do not have any recollection of her. I was like, oh, Patricia, I love Patricia Clarkson. So sweet. Nice to see her. I guess in an early role, maybe she was established, and I just didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
But I gotta agree with Kevin. I love the music in this film. I walked away with beautiful visuals in my head and beautiful music. And I I hadn't seen this in theaters. Remember the old Eglinton, Kevin, on the thing? That's where I saw this. I remember seeing it at the Eglinton.
Not far from where I live right now.
Yes. And I just love that scene when they go to kill Sean Connery. And I love the shots on there, the long shots. And you see Tchaikovsky in that. Like, you could tell De Palma liked Tchaikovsky. He does the same shots on the roof, and I can see Tchaikovsky doing the same shots from Stalker and also from The Mirror. So I know De Palma's a very smart filmmaker, and I'm not saying he doesn't have his own technique, which I think he does. But he definitely knows what to take from the masters and make it his own.
He lifts a lot from Hitchcock.
Pardon?
More than anything. He lifts a lot from Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, the top of the building is definitely from Vertigo. But I find his shooting style is a lot like Tchaikovsky from Stalker and Mirror. I see it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I give him full credit. He makes it his own. I definitely find he blends styles well and makes it his own at times. And I love that about him. And I love the way, again, the music was just, and the acting's great. Everybody in this film has a role, has an understory, has something to do. I just wish we had some more Capone or maybe a little more Capone doing a little bit more bad, but that's just me wanting that. There's nothing we won't add to the film. I think the film was great.
Right.
I just enjoyed that as it is. And I love that train sequence, always. Because I think it's just a great scene.
I love the shots in the church, just how like he frames it when they're just having the conversation. This is actually my first time seeing this. I love the dynamics, the performances, Patricia Clarkson, like, I love, like, them working, but I love the scenes where we get some more color into Elliot Ness, which is with the wife. De Palma knows how to shoot action.
Amazing.
It's an excellent film. I think my only complaint was just how they set up the baby carriage, because I was just getting, like, okay, like, this is taking a bit long. Costner, go help the poor woman. Like, you're taking a whole 2 minutes just watching her struggle.
Well, you know something's going to happen. If they're setting it up that way, it's going to be used for something. If not, it's a really poorly designed film.
No, it's effective. And then, like, I guess the baby carriage going down and him having to save it was a bit cheesy to me, but it was still very cool to watch.
Then you got to see the other film, right, Potankin? You have to see that film to get this scene.
What's it called?
Battleship Potankin. It's on the Sight and Sound list, top 10. It's in there.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I got it. I was just kind of like, so it's homage to that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just seemed a little cheesy watching it.
The whole thing with the sharpshooter?
Yes.
Oh.
As soon as he says, you got it? He goes, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this movie's also endlessly quotable. I mean, you got the enthusiasm. You got the, what's your name? No, your real name. And, you know, don't bring a gun to a knife or bring a knife to a gunfight.
Still say that to this day.
Fantastic.
He brings a knife, you bring a gun. He brings a gun, you bring a shotgun.
Doug, is this one of your kids' favorite films or no?
Yes. My oldest son, Owen, this is his current favorite film of all time. When I showed it to him maybe 5 months ago, I had no expectation of that, but he was just drawn into it. He loved it. Everything. Even the little girl, Mister, you forgot your briefcase.
Yeah. Oh. Does Papa hate kids?
Yeah.
He blows one up, and then what else does he do? Oh, yeah, the baby carriage. I just wrote in my notes. Does he hate children?
That kid getting blown up was great. Well designed scene. You knew there was a bomb in the case. It worked perfectly, and I loved it all. Well, and now speaking of great films, I guess since I'm going to give it away, I guess we're going to Goodfellas.
Are we a couple of Goodfellas?
Well, we got one here, Kevin and Doug. We got two.
Okay. Starring Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco, Paul Sorvino, Martin Starr, Chuck Lowe, Michael Imperioli, and Sam Jackson for like a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you want me to start briefly? This is my first time seeing it.
Go for it.
Okay. Now, okay, so I put notes because this is the only disappointing thing about this is that I can't watch it for the first time again. And it's just weird living in a world where I probably won't watch a better gangster. Sorry. My bad. Better gangster movie.
Yes, you will.
I've seen Godfather, but I haven't seen the Godfather Part 2.
There you go.
Okay. The performance is, everything about it is perfect. The way it opens, Liotta's age thing. And it's been out 30 years. The only thing I knew of is that Pesci is apparently scary, and I actually didn't realize that he died in this movie. So like the setup for that scene and him just getting shot, I was like, no. And just like the disrespect of shooting him in the face so we can't have an open casket. Like I think like that color is just so fascinating to me. And I loved it. I gave it a 5 out of 5. Okay.
Kevin?
You know, we're being recorded, our visuals as well, so you can just say
that's true.
You know, talk about The Untouchables is a great movie. Goodfellas is probably my favorite gangster movie as well. And it's probably my favorite Scorsese movie as well. I love a lot of Scorsese movies, but this one is perfect. From Ray Liotta's narration right at the beginning through to the very final scene, there's so many great sequences and bits just going around the clubs and talking about this person and that person and the Lufthansa heists. And, you know, and all the different people that die, and the Scorsese's use of music is perfect in this, you know, like picking the right Rolling Stones song for which moment and music for each time. But nothing beats in my mind the whole sequence with the babysitter and the paranoia. Of course, he's on drugs and he's paranoid of what's going on. He knows they're following him, and it's just sort of that sequence in his, like the day in the life, where everything falls apart. I loved it. You know, I thought De Niro's fantastic. Pesci's fantastic. That scene, you know, the scene where they take him downstairs and he thinks it's a big day. And De Niro's super excited that he can't be made himself because he's not Italian. But Pesci can be. And so it was like he was being made. And then that they turned around and shot him in the head. in the face, I should say, was like a huge disrespect to him as well. Just like, I mean, I love Casino. I love The Departed. Even that one that came out earlier, that came out last year, The Irishman, they're all really good. But this one, to me, is the pinnacle. And it's up there. Like, and I think it was around, made around the same time as Untouchables. Like,
yeah, Untouchables 89.
It's just a great era for movie making around those years, like late 80s. So.
Doug?
Yeah, I make no bones that Scorsese is my favorite living filmmaker right now. Goodfellas is probably my second favorite film of his. Raging Bull is just a notch above it for me. Oh. But I love Goodfellas. Like everybody said, I mean, the one thing that always sticks out to me is the music. The piano solo from Layla as they're finding the bodies of the people who pull off the heist. It's just amazing. And the food porn. I love the food porn in this movie. The shaving of the garlic with the razor blade.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece.
I have to agree with everything you guys said. The one thing I just thought you guys didn't mention, nobody mentioned Lorraine Bracco, impresses me so much as his wife. I mean, I guess I've forgotten after 30 years she was in this film, because it's my second time seeing it since I saw it. Probably on VHS, because I don't think I saw it in theaters. She really impressed me as an actress in here. I mean, I can't say other than Sopranos, the only other thing I remember seeing her in. I don't really see her much in other things. I thought she worked well. I liked the repartee. I found Ray Liotta got it. De Niro's just amazing, and Pesci's just amazing. But he's always playing Pesci. And I love the gangster guys, because they all look like gangsters to me. They actually look like thugs. And I think that's a problem in some films you got. But Scorsese always seems to know who to cast, or his casting director needs to do. And I do like that about this film, that everybody has a role, everybody has something to do. Even the babysitter works well for me, and her manic thing works perfectly. His wife works. The kids work. Like, everything. Maybe it's just Scorsese is that good that he just knows what to do with what he gets. But this film's phenomenal. You need to watch it.
And I have.
Good for you, Dan.
Well, before Bob corrects me, I said that The Untouchables is 1989. It's 1987.
Oh, I'm sure he's right on that now.
Before he texts you about it, right?
I'm sure I'll be hearing an email about it eventually. Well, he doesn't have to die, but John Tucker does.
Do you want to do that one, or do you want to do Luck of the Irish?
Oh, we're doing Luck of the Irish last.
Okay, do we have enough time to?
We have time. We have 5 minutes.
Okay. John Tucker Must Die, starring Jesse Metcalf, Brittany Snow, Ashante, Sophia Bush, Ariel Kebble, Penn Badgley, Jenny McCarthy, and Fatso Fasano. I just wanted to say that name.
I'll go quick. I think this is just a fun film. You're going to watch it once and forget about it. It could sit in your shelf. Nobody would be upset. I think everybody has something to do again. It kind of works. I thought the ending was kind of a little cheesy at the end, but I like some of the gags. I thought the underwear gag was fun. I thought Brittany Snow playing hard to get was fun. I love the storyline with Jenny McCarthy and her mom keeps dating bad guys and she keeps calling the same name all the time.
Skip.
Because they always skip out. I thought that worked. This is a film I kind of like. It's never going to be amazing, but I could watch this again and just enjoy it. I know Doug hated it, but I did like it.
This was like a childhood favorite of mine, and it was cool revisiting. I think it holds up well. The pacing is kind of awkward near the end when it just goes right into the ending of it.
It does.
But, damn it, I lost my train of thought. It's kind of like a lesser Mean Girls, how, like, in Mean Girls, they screw up Regina George, and in this one, they just screw up John Tucker.
Yeah.
Disappointing that he doesn't die in the end, but it's good.
I don't want him to die. I like the guy.
No, I know. He's a good guy.
It just wasn't for me. It's not really my type of film. When Jenny McCarthy is the voice of reason in one scene, that just plays false to me. It wasn't for me. I'm too old.
Before we let Kevin go, I love teen movies. You've got to understand, it's one of my favorite subgenres are teen movies. I absolutely love them.
I also enjoy a good teen movie. I'm not going to put this one in that category. It was okay. It was like a whole group of films that are just kind of okay teen movies, mm-hmm. like The New Guy.
Yeah.
And their films like that, there's a little bit of stuff going on. There's, you know, they wouldn't make this movie today with the same jokes because some things don't play as well.
Yeah.
The bit with the, like, what I did find clever was that everything that they tried to do to shame John Tucker backfired and made him more popular.
Yeah.
That I thought was amusing. You know, giving him the underwear, putting him in a herpes video.
That was funny.
These things, like, they ended up backfiring on him, and he ended up becoming just more popular to show the power of his popularity in the schoolyard, I guess, or in the community, was that the guy could do no wrong. And so, I mean, in the end, that whole end sequence on the stage was just stupid and awkward. Like, it just transitioned so poorly to party scene. And then stuff is on screen, and they're showing the video of her saying that she doesn't love him, and then she stops it before it gets on stage, and they're throwing beer at them and food, and it just falls apart.
That didn't work. I agree. I thought that was the worst scene in the film.
To me, almost as bad as the end of Stripes, where the second half is like the second movie, which is garbage.
Yeah, you know, you're correct.
The hour is amazing, and then the second hour is just, is this the same movie? Is this by the same people? But in this case, it's the last 15 minutes where they have no idea how to end it.
Correct.
But I did like that, unlike most movies of this genre, the main characters do grow and come out of it. You know, so he has learned from the experience, so she has she. He's not all evil, even though they all want him to die and suffer. He learned that he was wrong, and he'll be a better person. So he actually ends up being a more likable character than he was made out to be at the beginning of the film. So...
2000s masterpiece.
No.
I wouldn't use the word masterpiece.
No, I mean that is for the ends.
Just before we go, we gotta discuss this film because I couldn't leave it off because somebody had to make me watch it for their new show, Popcorn Flex.
Okay, well, Luck of the Irish, Ryan Merriman, Henry Gibson, Alexis Lopez. Okay, I was never going to put this on. You just have a compulsive need to watch everything. I wasn't ever going to make you guys watch this.
Just want to state, after listening to the podcast, I need to discuss something. Somebody said Henry Gibson, oh, I know that guy. He's from XX and X. Never brought up Blues Brothers. That's all I have to say on the matter.
Well, I said Wedding Crashers. I haven't seen Blues Brothers. You got. I'm what, 25? I think in mid 2000s movies.
Exactly my point. This film is terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I mean, record. We have the record show. We did the first podcast on St. Patty's Day, so this is why I picked it. This is why that was the first one.
You can discuss that on your show, and you can find that, I don't know, on this feed below this.
Wait, I can't discuss it on this show.
No, be quiet. So. Go ahead. I'm just busting you.
No, I've discussed it ad nauseum on the other one, so I was just going to say, I think I liked it as a kid, it's rough. I'll talk about one thing, the basketball, when he swats it off the ground. It's a stupid movie, but it doesn't work. It's like, hey, tolerate leprechauns.
I just want to know, Kevin, you know how, okay, you start watch this movie, and it's all about trying to find his heritage. And his parents are, like, not telling him. So I'm like, okay, something's going on there, obviously. He goes to school, and this Becky chick he should just slap in the face because she's annoying. He's pushing and pushing and pushing. He doesn't care. So she kind of makes him do all this crap. And then she becomes his best buddy halfway through the film. And then he goes to these Irish games. What? And then Grandpa goes nuts for this money. And there's my big problem. Doesn't this guy own a massive chip factory? Why does he need cash? He has tons of it.
I'm a leprechaun, and I see gold. I want it.
And, I mean, you state this on your podcast, and here's one of my... And, like, he goes on, like, they should be returning those coins. Shouldn't there be a part two to this? He has to return all the coins?
Yeah, I think so.
And if this guy needs his coin to be good at basketball, then he's cheating.
He's not good at sports. It's just luck of the Irish.
Well, that's it. Does anybody else have anything to say about this? Or
he watched it.
I didn't get why, if they're leprechauns and they had magic, why was he shrinking? Why was his ears growing? Why did his mom diminutize? It made no sense to me.
None.
And I didn't get it.
Kevin?
No one does. Lucky Charms.
I didn't see it, so.
Oh, lucky you, you said. Did anybody buy anything? Because we know Kevin did.
Nope.
Oh, God. Yeah, what did I buy? I bought Demolition Man.
Love that film.
Because of the relationship to what's going on now. I bought a box set of the Star Trek 10 films for $20 on iTunes. I know you're a fan. I bought two $5 movies. I can't remember what they were. Give me a second. If anyone else bought anything, speak up now.
Okay. Well, Kevin's going to track. I'll discuss something that's really pissed me off about COVID. I can't go to garage sales.
Yeah.
I can't go to the flea market. I can't do anything I like to do. I can't buy anything because there's no way for me to purchase physical media other than Arrow copies at like $80. And I don't want to buy an Arrow copy at $80. I want to find a garage sale and pay 50 cents. Is that wrong?
No. You only have, what, 18 movies left on that list that I'm picking for you?
No, I have another pile already started for you.
Okay.
So, Kevin, you got your movies?
Yeah, the other two movies I purchased were About a Boy.
I love that film.
$5 and 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Which I saw on my honeymoon in San Francisco.
Oh, that's cool.
I have to say, watching that movie was tough because the guy's apartment bears some resemblance to my own.
Oh, absolutely.
With action figures and statues and comic art.
Uh-oh.
So I guess This is the point of the show. We should tell everybody where to find us on social media.
Where can they find us on social media, Simon?
Well, you can find me at extrafeatures.ca. You can find me on Twitter's extrafeatures. Gmail me at extrafeatures.ca. You can find me at www.extrafeatures.ca, and that's our website. And you can find us on Facebook and like us there.
What's our Facebook?
The Extra Features Podcast.
Is it Extra Features? There's two. There's Extra Features Podcast and Extra Features Movie Review Podcast.
I don't know. Whichever one you made, Kevin, you're in charge of it.
Which one? I think Movie Review Podcast is the one that's more up to date.
And if you want to hear more of me, you can go check out our interviews. We do lots of those. We have new episodes of 20 Minutes with Chad. We have a brand new show on Disney Originals with Dan and Bobby. And we should have a new show coming soon if somebody gets around to doing it. So that's about it. Are we done, Kev? Am I out of here?
Yeah, I think so.